It's just, I always just love coming to Wellard. There's just a strong sense of the presence of God in this place. And just cherish that and allow God to keep building that, because He's got certainly a lot more than what we have at the moment. That God says there's more. There's more. And that the more comes when we are hungry. You know, God's not going to pour it out when we're just coming, we don't really want to give God much time, we haven't got any hunger for Him. God isn't going to just pour out His Spirit. He's going to do that in a church where people are hungry for Him, where people are desiring Him more above anything, any other thing. Whereas Pastor Charlie said, it's putting Him first place in everything we do in our lives. But just cherish it, because it's so, so good here. I'm not saying it isn't good at Fremantle either, but it's very good. So this morning, I'm going to be speaking into our story, our future, but in maybe a slightly different vent. But as we know, and as it's been in the announcements, our story, our future offering's coming next Sunday. So I really encourage you just to take the card with you and just pray about it. And I'll mention a little bit more about it at the close of my message. So the title of my message this morning is Building Things That Last. Building Things That Last. And I was just thinking about it just as in the worship. I don't think they build things like they used to in the old days. You know, washing machines used to last 25 years, 30 years. Well, if you get 5 years out of one now, you're doing really well. Because they've worked it out that if the things last too long, then you don't go and buy another one. But if they only last a certain length of time, then you have to go out and purchase another appliance. You know, appliances just don't last like they used to last. But that's a side thing. So building things that last, and you're very blessed down here in Wellard to have your own building. There's so many churches that are just meeting in halls or in leased buildings. And for a season, there was a time with the church here in Wellard, that over in the Wellard Centre, that we had to set up each night, and they used to have to bring all the gear. It was a Sunday night that we had it over there, and they used to have to bring all the gear in a trailer. You remember that, Michael, don't you? Yeah, so there was quite a lot of work involved for people to have to do. But you're so blessed now that you can walk in and all the chairs are out, and you've got a coffee machine and you've got a nice little lounge, and it's don't have to pack up everything when you actually finish. So buildings are great, but obviously the church, as much as a building, we need a house, you know, as the building is the church, but really we're the people make up the church. So we're really the building. It's you know, it's our lives. We're the building, and we all come together and meet in a facility. And it's so good to be able to come into one that, you know, that we own, or we have a mortgage, but we own, and that we can come and not have to do a lot of things that other churches have to do to be able to have church. So we're blessed in that regard. I just remember in my early days in a church, the last church I was involved in, and I wasn't there when they actually purchased this building, but I remember seeing it in the photos, seeing photos of it, and they were not a very large congregation, probably a little bit more than what we have here, but they managed to procure this old warehouse. This is in Christchurch in New Zealand, and it was an old paint supplier place, and where they mixed up paint, and there's big paint jars and everything like this. Now, the building, it had a little bit of land with it, but the building looked, I don't know if you've ever seen a Nazi German prisoner of war camp, but like one of those big long huts. That's what the actual building looked like. And I remember seeing the photos, because we came along a lot later, and the building was pretty well, they're still working inside, but it was a lot nicer. But I remember seeing the photos, And it was like in winter in Christchurch, and there was snow on the ground in this grey old warehouse building. And it just looked, and then I saw inside, and it was just like there was paint jars, and they were everywhere. But they all got together. People just got together and rallied around, and they worked in that building. They served to get it all right. They had to gut it out and do a lot of work on it. And it was part of, and it actually built quite the community built around that as well, because they had something that they could work on and fix up. So it was a building that was going to be really a legacy for the next generations. And now the pastor's son is running the church, and the children and the son's children are obviously doing things in the church as well now. So it's sort of been passed down through the generations. So it's really good that when we have a building and that we can contribute to it, even though we may not have been here at the start. It's something, if you feel that this is your home, it's something really good to be able to do, just in a small way, to be able to help, because it helps with the mortgage, helps with other repairs on the building. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 9 to 13, it says, "For we are God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than we have already, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials: gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of fire, flames." I want to be the person that builds with the gold, silver, and jewels, and that I have a reward, that my works just aren't all burnt up at Judgment Day. Paul was saying that we are, Paul in this passage just previous, the church had been wanting to follow, some of the church was wanting to follow Paul's teaching, and then others were wanting to, thought Apollos was better, and so they wanted to follow Apollos. Paul laid the foundation and Apollos added to the foundation. And so many teachers do in church. So we as Christians, we can listen to one part or pastor or a teacher, and then someone else can come along who's a good teacher as well, and they can add to what's already been taught, so that we are growing, we are moving forward. So my first point this morning is laying the right foundation. And as you can tell by that photo, that building did not have a very good foundation, because it's got a very bad lean. I don't know if that's photoshopped or not, but I asked Claire to find a building with without a strong foundation. If the foundation of the building isn't right, then that building will crack and collapse or lean. I can have everything on the exterior of the building looking absolutely fantastic, but if that foundation isn't right, I'm not going to be able to use that building, because its cracks will come and things will drop off, and it will be dangerous to go into. Any building is only as solid as its foundation. So it's only as solid as its foundation. And there's a foundation being laid in C3 Wellard here. It's been established, I think I'm just trying to remember, because I remember I was on staff at the time in Fremantle when we when it was planted down in Wellard there. And I remember coming for the, I think it was for the first 3 months on a Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, making the trek down there. And so that was established. So the building was established, people came. And then there was a move over to here later on. And again, there's people, once people come, you're establishing something, you're building into the church, building in, laying that foundation, building on what others have sown into. Then if we look at our foundation must be built on Jesus Christ, for he has to be our base, the reason for being. He is our rock. He is our fortress. Everything we do must rest on his life and his word. Rest on his life and his word. So whether it's our marriage, if we're trying to have a marriage but Jesus isn't the center of it, we'll run into problems. To have a great marriage, and as Christians, Jesus should be the center of our marriage. I remember when, before Angela and I became Christians, we were married, and maybe for a couple of years before we became Christians. And I can remember the change that happened as we started to grow in our walk with Jesus Christ and put Jesus at the center of our marriage. Things changed. We had difficulties in a number of areas, and slowly but surely, Jesus worked through those, helped us work through those things to build a better marriage. So Jesus needs to be the center of our marriage, the center of our business. We need to build on that foundation. I can ask this morning, how is your foundation? What are you building on? You know, the world has so many things to offer and so many great ideas and so many things that we can want. And if we go for those things, which can be wealth, security, or success, and we start to build success into our lives and we gather money together and we feel we're secure, and we become very successful, what happens when the storms of life come? What happens when the money dries up, the success goes? What happens? And that's a difference when you're building, but it's a difference when you're building upon the rock, Jesus Christ, when you're building your foundation or your life upon him. That when the storms of life come, you're unshakable. Sure, you might have to go through trials, but you're steadfast because you're trusting in him. You know the word of God, you know his promises. And you know that he will always take care of your need, that he won't leave you, that he won't forsake you. So we need to be building our lives upon Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. He is the foundation of the church. We're the church. He's our foundation. So there's two types of materials that we can build upon that foundation. And Paul lists them there as being gold, silver, or jewels, costly stones. When you look at those materials, they're permanent materials. They're abiding, they don't fail, they don't slip off the foundation. They take effort to get. It's effort to be able to dig up jewels and precious stones, to get gold or to get silver. The other thing we could use to build with would be wood, hay, or straw. But with those items, they're perishable. You know, wood burns, hay burns, straw blows away. They're temporary. They soon pass away. So you can look at liken the gold, the silver, and the jewels as building with the Scripture of God, the Word of God, getting the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives. As we put that in our lives, we're building a solid foundation on top of Jesus Christ. If we build with perishable things, and what are perishable, we've talked about, they're temporary, they'll pass away. And generally, perishable things, they're like traditions. You know, I've heard it said that Jesus said this to the Pharisees, that your traditions have made the Word of God of no effect. You know, if you've been in a church but have never really had much Bible teaching, but there's been traditions that that church has used, but not the Bible. Those traditions, and then someone shows you something in the Bible, those traditions can make that the Word of no effect because you don't believe it, you won't accept it. Philosophies of men. There's plenty of people that have got a lot of philosophies in these days and ideas and everything, and you don't want to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that men would bring. We need the Word of God to be able to stand on, to pray over, to speak in, to declare over our lives. That's going to bring foundation. That's going to make you unmovable no matter what we're hearing or what we're seeing out there in the world. Jesus said, there's two ways to destroy a building. Tamper with its foundations. So the moment I stop reading the Bible, I stop listening to preaching, I stop coming to church, I'm tampering with my foundations. I may have made Jesus Lord of my life, but if I'm not coming to church or I'm not reading my Bible and I'm starting to look at other things, I'm starting to tamper with my very foundations, and it's not very long that I start to slip off and slip away. So I can tamper with the foundations, or I can build with inferior materials. So if I'm listening to the wrong things and I'm trying to build, it's like building a building with concrete that doesn't have enough strength in it, or timber that's full of knots. You build with that and it's inferior. And it happens so much in the third world where they try to cut costs, and when they're building a building, they try and, you know, rather than use 10 bags of cement, they'll use one, and the rest of the money they'd probably take. And they wonder why the building would collapse, because they're not using either the correct products or just inferior ones. Chinese cement, maybe, I don't know. But in Matthew 7, 24 to 27, it says, "Anyone," this is Jesus speaking, "anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. He's like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock." Very strong rock. You can't move that. It's so hard to even chip into. "But anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey it is foolish." So if we come to church, we hear the Word of God preached, but we don't take that and start to act upon it or use it in our lives to help us grow, well, then we're really being foolish. Because when the Word is shared, it's there for us to take and to listen to and then to apply to our lives. So if he doesn't obey it, he's foolish. He's like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And we don't want our lives to collapse. We don't want our lives to be destroyed because we're building on the wrong materials. We need to be building on Jesus Christ. You don't build a natural building on sand without first digging all the sand out and putting a hard concrete foundation down. Otherwise, there'll be a mighty crash. The times we're living in, more than ever now, we need Jesus at the center of our lives. My second point is counting the cost. Counting the cost. And there's a picture of a building where they didn't count the cost. The framework's there, but nothing else. And I was saying this morning, I've been to Africa a number of times, and littered all over the country are buildings that have been started but not finished. People didn't count the cost, didn't work out how much it was going to cost. They thought they wanted to have the biggest building to impress everyone around them. And if they'd made a smaller building, they probably would have been able to get it finished. But because they started a big building, they ran out of money, and there it was left. So before you build, you need to know how much the building will cost if you want to be able to finish it. And if anyone who has built a house here, you would know what was required. You wouldn't want to suddenly the builder to give you a bill at the end of the build, $1 million, and you thought it was only going to be $300,000, you wouldn't get the building. In Luke 14, 28 to 30, again, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's a person who started the building and couldn't afford to finish it.'" When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's a cost, there's a price to pay. Sometimes people accept Christ, but they don't realize what Jesus is going to require of them. And when they find out, they drift away because the cost is too great. We have to give up our own desires and plans to follow Him. And when we do that, we may lose members of our family. They may not want to have anything to do with you. I know in some Muslim countries, if a person comes to Christ, they're ostracized. They've completely cut off from their family or family support. You may lose friends. You may lose position. Basically, we can lose everything that this world has to offer. But the wonderful thing is when we do that and when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, it's amazing how much He gives back to us. They're eternal things of eternal value. I mean, all these things of the world are, ultimately, they don't have any value. They may do to our flesh and to our soul. They can look good and make us feel great. But are they going to get us into heaven? They don't. Jesus Christ is the only way. In Matthew 16:24 to 27, then Jesus said to His disciples, "If any of you wants to be My follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow Me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for My sake, you will find it. You will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to his deeds. So I can gain everything but lose everything. I can gain all the wealth, all the, what's the, what do they call them? All worldly possessions. I can, I can know all the actresses and actors and all the superstars and everything like that. But when God knocks, I can just lose the whole lot. If I had a heart attack or if I died, everything, it counts to nothing. But if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I have eternal rewards. My life, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And eternity is a very long time for what we're having to face in this world at the moment. You know, we need to finish what we start. I've seen so many Christians, they've been so strong to start with. Oh, they're going to do, going to follow Jesus. They're going to do great things for him. And 3 or 4 or even a year later, they're not walking with him at all. And you wonder why. Why aren't they walking with Christ any longer? May have been something that happened. But sometimes I think the allures of what the world has to offer takes their focus off Jesus and onto those things. There's things in their heart that they never really gave up when they asked Jesus to come in, or whether they really did ask him to come in. As Christians, we want to be growing in Christ. We want to build on that foundation that we had when we accepted him as Lord and allow him to shape us so that we can be vessels for his glory in the times we're living in. The other area is when I commit to do something, it's actually seeing that commitment through. As a young Christian, I committed to things, but through immaturity and other things, I didn't actually fulfill my commitments. I thought it looked good and I put my hand up with everyone else. But did I make that commitment with the wrong motive? So if I make a commitment, I want to see that through. And it's when we come to filling out our cards, my advice is pray and ask God what he'd ask you to give, but sometimes it's difficult. And I think the main thing is that you're wise and look at what you can afford and maybe just start with that. And if you have more, well, God can give you more and increase more for you. But just do it to the level of faith you have. Don't think, oh, well, I have to do this because someone else is doing it. But if you just commit to it, and then see it through for the year. It's like it's a weekly. My wife and I do ours a weekly, so we know exactly where we're at. It's not a big deal. It's not like suddenly we have to try and find all this money. We just do it weekly. It comes out. God takes care of the rest. We just trust him that he'll provide for us. So finish what you start. Whether it's serving, if you volunteer for serving and you say that I'm going to spend a time serving, I want to commit to the children's ministry for a year. We'll see that through. Don't do it. Just do it for a couple of months and then say, oh, I don't really feel like I can do it anymore, or I'm only going to come once every 6 weeks or something. I might be able to do it then. Fulfill it. Well, do your best when you do it. Do your best for Christ. Always do your best. Don't do things half-hearted. I think if Christians were more how can I say, what's the word I'm looking for? But if I think we need to be fully, our hearts need to be fully involved in whatever we're doing for Christ, or be fully involved with what our pastors get behind the vision for what they're wanting to do. Be fully involved, engage your heart. Because if you're half-hearted in things, you tend not to see things through. You need to commit and see it through. And my last point, and there it is up there, look at that building flash as completion brings reward. Yeah. Completion brings reward. And in 2 Timothy, I was just looking at the legacy that Paul left with Timothy and how he brought Timothy and trained Timothy to be his disciple, and how he left is really his work for Timothy. But here in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, and I've remained faithful. Now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, with the Lord, the righteous judge, will give on that day of his return. You know, Paul remained faithful. He saw the course through. He had lots of things that he had to deal with during his time, shipwrecks and persecutions and beatings and imprisonments and all these things, but he remained faithful. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. So if we remain faithful, if we commit and we don't give up, if we build our lives upon Jesus Christ, we use the right foundations, the Word of God, the preaching that we hear, we'll have our rewards in heaven, because we will have built with gold, silver, and precious stones. So just as we're just closing now, just as there'll be some of these Our Story, Our Future cards on your chairs. Just encourage you to take one. Just pray about it. You can fill it out. And next week we're taking up our offering. Pastor Stephen will be back, and he'll be bringing a great word of next week. He's obviously been away for a couple of weeks now, so I know he'll be champing at a bit to go. So, well, church, just... where's Elta? Do you want to just we'll just close with a song and.